So today we're learning Hamidbar chapter 17. As we've discussed yesterday, this is really a continuation of the story. So let me finish off the last part of the story of the previous. And then there's another part, which really, if someone would have wanted to make a cut, then he should have cut after this part. So what we have is like this. Remember that Korach and his family and Dasam Aviram and their families, all of them, were swallowed into the earth. The earth opened up and swallowed them. And so that's one thing. And that's seems to be the end of that, right? So they're lost from the community. They're not part of the world anymore. In some sense, you could say, it's very obvious. You look around, you see that he's not here. So you see that that's what happened with Korach. But now, the 250 people who tried to be Makriv Ketores and were burned, they're still here, right? Their bodies are still here. They didn't go alive into Sheol. Their bodies are still here. So they're still part of the community in some sense, right? As we see, Vayesef El Amav, right? When you get gathered to your people, to your family, that's what happens when you die, when you get buried with your family and so on. So these people were buried with their family. It doesn't say that they were buried, but we assume they were buried, or whatever the people did with their family's bodies in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, sorry. They're not lost. So they're still around. In some sense, their argument is still here. So therefore, there's a special mitzvah, a special continuation, not a mitzvah, but really the end of the story, to show what happens with this, that we make this into some kind of signpost, into some kind of very important message, l'doiros, for all the generations, to know that these people lost. And this is a special mitzvah. Yidabra Hashem al-Moshe, Elohim Hashem speaks to Moshe, and he tells him to tell to Aharon, to Eluza, the son of Aharon. Aharon is the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't get involved, but Eluza, as we see later, and this is also one of the things in which this story is already part of the third part of Sefer Bamidbar, where Eluza becomes the Kohen after Aharon. Aharon was old already, maybe Eluza was already taking over functional things, at least, things that we need work. Eluza was taken care of. He says, take the machtes, take the vessels, the things in which they brought their ketores, throw away the fire. Fire means here, not literally fire, right? It means coals or whatever the fire is in. Throw it away. Kikotayshi, because these machtes became holy. They were sanctified. They were made kodesh. They were given to the Mishkan. They were given to the ketores. So the fact that they got burned is because they were holy. It's not that these karbonis were not accepted and therefore their karbonis is sort of choil, is secular, is not holy. It's the opposite. It's because they were holy that they got burned. So therefore we need to take these machtos, although they're chatoim el b'nafshos, right? They've sinned on themselves, right? In other words, they're not sin of the kol ha'edah, they sinned nafshosim for their person, their personal sins. But Hashem is saying these machtos are still part of the Mishkan, the stuck l'shura. So therefore, we should take it, we should make out of it a covering, a kind of a kuy pachim. You cover it, you bang it down until it's thin, and it becomes a cover, a nice cover for the Mizbech. The Mizbech wasn't covered until then so nicely, apparently, or they just added to the covering. It doesn't say what these machtos are made out of. Were they gold, probably copper, because the Mizbech was covered in copper. And this is because they brought it for Hashem, and they became holy. And then, but the main point is, v'yula ois levnei Yisrael. This would be a sign for the Yidden. So besides for the fact that it's a machta, has to be, could just be used in some way, it was particularly put on the Mizbech. The Mizbech is in a public place. Mizbech HaChitzon is something where everyone can see. It's not inside, where nobody can see. It's an outside thing. And every time someone goes to the Mizbech, you will see, this is weird, this covering of the Mizbech, this plating on the Mizbech, is part of the sign, is saying, look what happens to people that try to be ma'arad, that try to take away the kohen from Levi, from Aharon and his children. So in other words, this is not just like some weird thing where it became holy, so therefore it has to be part, but it's lachatchila like this. And this is something we see in all of these stories. There's almost always something that's left over to be a sign. Even the story itself is a sign. But the fact that this was left over is a sign to show us the message, the lesson of this story. And he did it, so this was the command, and Eluza does it. He makes it, and it becomes a memory. And here, gets done, the pasuk explains us better. It becomes a memory for the Yidden, a signpost, a piece of memory. So that a stranger, someone who is not from the children of Aharon, should not do ketores, and you should not be like Korach and his people. And he did this as Hashem told Moshe to do. Now, this is the end. Here is the end of this part of the story. That's how I cut it up, and that's where the chapter should have been. Now, apparently, this was not enough. So, obviously, Moshe won this fight, right? Korach was killed, all these 250 people killed. But it seems like the people still thought that they had a good argument. People still thought that they had a point. So, the fact that they died wasn't enough. So here we see something very important. Die, killing people is not a proof enough that you're right. You have to also show that you're right. You have to at least bring a better sign. Of course, even they were killed miraculously, as Moshe said, and B'riyah Yivra Hashem, all of that is still not enough. Apparently, Moshe, he can do Moshe, he's a tzaddik. He can get miracles to happen too. That doesn't prove much. So we have to show something more. So we have the complaint. So this is like another step of the story. Another story. It's like many stories, you just start with a complaint. The stories could have started here. But of course, it's complaining about what happened before, about the story of Korach. The congregation again. The people complain on Moshe the next day, on Moshe and they say, "Atim amitim es Hashem, you have killed Hashem's people." Remember, this was Korach's argument. We are Am Hashem. And now you killed them, you killed some of us, just for wanting to be Kiddush, just for wanting to be Kehanim. It seems not fair, it seems like they didn't prove their point yet. And now, again, Hashem is very upset. So this is just like in every complaint, Hashem is upset. They all gather together on Moshe, they come to the Al-Moed, and again, the cloud is there, the cloud has covered the Al-Moed, the glory of Hashem is there. Moshe and Han go into the Al-Moed, and Hashem speaks to Moshe the same thing that he spoke before. Hiromi, separate yourself from this Eden, I will destroy all of them. And what did Moshe and Aaron do? People upon them, the same thing they're doing all this time. They fall on their faces. It doesn't say that Moshe does something. And here there's a new thing, very interesting story. Instead of Moshe davening and saying, "Hey, Shechad Yachta," he couldn't say that because this is Kol Eden. Again, at least all the representatives. There isn't really someone saying, and of course, as we explained yesterday, it's still Moshe could have claimed that Korach instigated everything, but it seemed like it didn't help. The fact that Korach was destroyed, Korach lost very clearly, didn't help that the rest of the people, or some of the rest of the people still were on his side, still were complaining about, not only on his side, they were complaining about what Moshe did to him. So therefore, they have to do a lot more. They have to, Hashem is still very upset and he wants to destroy all of them. And now Moshe cannot pray, doesn't have an argument left, but he has a segula, he has a way. It's very interesting. Of course, the same Ketores that killed the 250 people is going to save the rest of the people, so something very curious is going on here. But Moshe tells Aaron, "I have a solution. Take the machta, put fire from the Mizbeach," so very important. This is not Esh Zorah, fire from the Mizbeach, "and go to the people and vachapra them and atone for them." So apparently Ketores is something that atones for a cask, atones for a Magaifa. It might have some medicinal properties in some way, some people might say that, but in any case, it's something that can solve this problem. There's a Negev, it started a Magaifa, a plague started, go, put Ketores there, it will stop it. And that's what Aaron did. He runs Al Teich HaKol into the congregation, into the gathered people, and he sees that's true, the Negev started, the Magaifa started, he puts Ketores, he stands between the dead and the living. In other words, until where Aaron came, people died, and from the Ketores and on, maybe literally, like he was standing and there's like a plague spreading, like in a contagious way, right? So it spreads, it kills one the next. And then wherever Aharon stand, he made like a machitza with his ketores, and that's where the Magaifa stopped. And the Magaifa stopped, and we have in the end a census that says how many people were killed in Magaifa. 14,700 people were killed in Magaifa, besides for Korach and the 250 people that killed. And Aharon comes back to Moshe and sort of reports how Magaifa and Atzura, the Magaifa stopped. So this is the end of this second story. There was a Magaifa, and it was solved by the Ketores, the same Ketores that killed everyone. When Aharon did it, that's really probably the simple reasoning, when Aharon did it, it was in the correct way, and therefore was not something that killed anyone. But now, again, this is not enough to show. People still have an argument. They still have some problem. So Hashem is trying to do something to show some that Aharon is the one that is chosen. Apparently, they didn't. The fact that he can kill his misnagdim and kill the people that are against that challenge him is not enough. So he's saying something else. He's saying something new, and he says this. Hashem speaks to Moshe and he tells them, "Tell each of the shivotim, each base of or each shevet, 12 of them, to take a stick, mate." It's interesting because mate is a stick, and mate is also the image, the simile, right? That is used. Similarly, that is used. To represent a shevet, right? A shevet is literally also a stick, or a mate sometimes means something like what we call a shevet, a tribe. But it's called a tribe because the tribe is led by someone with a stick, or something like that. So now they take this stick, which is like literally symbolic of the shevet, you put each person's name on his stick, when Aharon on his stick, or the stick that represents Levi, and you'll put all these sticks in the El Moed. And now it will be a new way of showing who is chosen. Whoever is chosen, his stick will flower. So a stick, of course, is made out of wood. It's an artificial thing. It's used as just as a stick. But if it's made out of wood, then it can be, it can sprout. Something can grow on it. So Hashem is going to show, miraculously, but in some way, that a Aharon stick has sprouting, it sprouts, it's growing, it's alive. And this will show that a Aharon was chosen, and I will quiet down. I will quiet from me the complaints of the people. So this is very nice. I think it's the very simple point. To kill people is not a very good sign, but if you can make flowers grow more than other people, that's sort of a better sign. And that's what they do. Moshe speaks to the people. They each give him a matah. He puts the matah and together he puts it all of Nei Hashem Bo'el Moed, and he leaves it there overnight. And then in the morning, Moshe comes to the Oel HaEdes, again, Oel HaMoed, Oel HaEdes, change names. And here we see, of course, that the Matei Aharon has flowered. It has tzitz, it has some more level of flower, maybe like the like pointy parts that come out, the Igmo Shkaidim, and some almonds, or some, it's actually having fruit that's coming to grow. Shkaidim is something that grows quickly, so that's the kind of image. And Moshe brings it out, and he shows them, look, this is the one that sprouted. And now this becomes also a memory, just like we had the Machte Zachatoim, which become on the Mezbech, as a Koran, a sign forever. The Mate also gets put back and becomes a memory forever, the nicer sign, that Aharon's stick sprouted, and that's what Hashem tells Moshe, bring back the Mate of Aharon, all the other ones they gave back. But Aharon, which was miraculously sprouted, put back the Fnei. This will be the Meshmeres Lois Nebedit for something saved, right? It's going to be saved, it's going to be watched, it's going to be stayed there, so that they not complain about that. V'lo Yemusyan, did not die. In other words, this is Hashem helping them not to have complaints, right? If they die, and they will go to the Mishkan, they will die, as we see all the time. You can die from going close to the Mishkan when you're not authorized. So this will be a sign to show them that Aharon was chosen and they should not do, and Moshe did what Hashem says, and that's what happens. Now, the story continues in a third level, and the chapter here was cut off in actually the wrong place here. I'm not going to follow them. We'll start the first pasuk, the last pasuk, or the last upsukim of this chapter. We will do tomorrow in the next chapter, because that's really the question, I think, that answers. There's a question and answer there.